Today's share in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Nazir, Daf Yud Beis. We're going to begin on the very second to bottom line from Yud Aleph Amud Beis. We're learning today's very, very sadly, Le'ili Nishmas, the seven Kedoshim that died al Kiddush Hashem by a terrorist attack in the Neve Yaakov neighborhood in Eretz Yisrael this past Friday night. Hashem Yimkom Domam. Be'ezus Hashem, there should be peace and safety for all of Klal Yisrael and Eretz Yisrael. Hashem should end this terrible suffering that we have at the hands of these horrific terrorists. Okay, let us begin. Yud Beis, Amud Beis, two lines from the bottom. Omer of Yitzhak bar Yosef, Omer of Yochanan. Rav Yitzhak, who is the son of Yosef, said the name of Yochanan. Omer l'shlucho, if a person says to his shaliach, he makes a shaliach to somebody to go and find him a wife. And he says, tsei, we turn to Yud Beis, Amud Aleph, tsei v'kadesh li'isha stam. And he says, please go and marry for me, get me a wife, but he doesn't specify a specific woman. So the shaliach has carte blanche to go and get him any woman in the entire world to be his wife. And then Bach adds critical words. And the Bach says that then umeis ha-shaliach, and the shaliach died. So now we have a rule that a shaliach that is given a shlichus to do, we can assume shaliach ose shlichuso. We can assume that the shaliach in fact did find a woman, was makadesh this woman to this man, but we have no idea who this woman was. And therefore, this person who had sent the shaliach is asur b'chol hanoshim sheba'olam. He isn't allowed to marry a single girl in the world, because we don't know who his wife is, who this man was makadesh from the first stage of marriage. And therefore, any woman that he marries could be the sister of that wife of his, it could be the mother of that wife of his, any one of the arayas to his wife. He doesn't know who his wife is. The shaliach mistama was makadish a woman for him, and therefore this poor guy that did this shlichus, which isn't a good shlichus in terms of common sense. You don't send the man out to go and be makadish any woman for you, but you send him to be makadish a specific woman if you're going to make a shliach to do this. So therefore, you can find out, did he or did he not makadish that specific woman? Here, we have no idea. As Tosus points out, Nira Masl, also b'chol anoshim, it's very possible that he was makadish a woman, we don't know who, and the women aren't necessarily going to believe to say that lo niskadashti, because that's a certain type of an edus, as the Tosus brings out in the top line. So then all the people in the world should not be forbidden to marry any woman in the world, because we could say Shema Zos Hishin is Gadsha Aida Shliach. Any other person, when he goes to marry a girl, how do we know that that girl wasn't Mikudeshes by this Shaliach? So Rabbeinu Tam, the Hanoshim Ne'manos, according to Rabbeinu Tam, that the woman would have a Ne'manos to be said, no, I wasn't Mekudeshes, so lo ma'alon is Kadashti, they would believe to say that I wasn't Miskadeshes, so Tenach, that would be good, but only for Gedolos, only for girls above the age of Bas Mitzvah. Kitanos don't have a Ne'manos, Shenon Yodos, we don't have any idea, im aviem kibel avuron kedushin. Maybe their father accepted the kedushin, and their father has now passed away. Michael Emeimer, Kvar Me'savia. So it's very possible that the Shaliach who died was Makadesh, the daughter of the man who died, and now the girl who's under the age of Bas Mitzvah has no idea, and therefore we could argue that no man in the world should be able to marry any one of these women in the world. So Tosa says, Yesh Lomar, the Midaraisa Afilu Hu Shari Lisa. In fact, even this person who sent the shliach has the right halachically to go get married to anybody, and we don't have to be concerned that maybe he's married a sister of his wife or a mother of his wife, etc. The Azlinan Basaruba, we have the right to go after the majority, Milomar, and therefore say, Mikrovos Hamikudeshes he, and we don't have to say that this girl is from the Krovim of his wife. Ve'eno Elo Kinasa Bi'alma, and it's only a Knas here that the rabbis instituted, she also Shliach Stam. He shouldn't have done this. It was a stupid thing to do, to go and assign a Shliach to go and Jubi Makadish any girl for him without specifying which one. Velo Pirishlo Kadesh Leplonis. He wasn't specifying, go get married to this specific girl, have her marry me. Well, did they only to him kansu? So the rabbis only made a knas midrabbanan on this person for doing such a nonsensible shlichus. However, ulachrini, but to all the other men of the world, all the women of the world, lo kansu. They didn't institute such a dirabbanan type of a knas. I Tosa says Vim Tomar Peleve Isura Daraisa. Why is it this Anissa Daraisa? Why are we saying it's only Anissa Darabanan? The Habile Kavua. After all these women were in a situation called kavua. They were in their houses, nistama, when they were mikudeshes. We'll discuss this more as well. And therefore, we have a rule, a famous rule in Principles of Taruvus, that says, kol kavua kemetza metzadami. Even though it's only one girl, and there are millions and millions of other girls in the world, nevertheless, since they're in a specified place, in a kavua place, we view this as a 50-50 in halacha, and therefore, why don't we in fact say that all the other women of the world are aser? So the Gemara says, v'yesh lomar, delo amrinon kavua kemetzadami. We only apply this principle, kavua kemetzadami, in certain situations, but not over here. We only apply it, elo kisha isur nikor liatzmo. The heter nikor liatzmo. Only when we know this is definitely osur and this is definitely mutter. And now we say, kol kavua kemetzadami. But here in this situation, we have no idea who the isur woman is. Avo kisha eina isur nikor liatzmo. So therefore, that's why Tosus explains the rest of the women in the world are still allowed to get married, and all the other men in the world can go marry those women. But it's a specific knasmi, the Rabbanon, Tosus explains on this guy that made this shlichus. So this is what the Gemara starts off and tells us over here. Because we have, as I mentioned, chazokah shliach osa shlichus. So we have a principle that says mistama this shliach did what he was asked to do before he died, and mekivan delo parishle. And since he didn't mention who he was going to be mikudeshes, we have to assume it could be anybody, and therefore halo yada heiniu kadishle. It could be any woman in the world, and therefore if this man who sent the shliach were to go marry another woman, he might be marrying his real wife's sister, his real wife's mother, etc. Or we'll talk about potential exceptions to this. If we know a woman, for example, doesn't have any other relatives, he would be technically allowed to marry her as well. So it's not really usur to all the nashim in the world, but it'll be a specific number, a very high number of them that he would be usur to. This is what Rabbi Yochanan said. And Reish Lakish, his famous Bar Plukta throughout Shas, questions this. Eisa Reish Lakish to Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan is questioned by Reish Lakish. He says, what about the following din? Reish Lakish says, if you have a cane is a pair of birds, one of them is an ola, one of them is a chatas, that certain situations a woman is obligated to bring them. For example, if she is a zavu or a yoledas, she has to bring a pair of birds, one of them is an ola, one of them is a chatas. Similarly, a man, if he was a zav, would have to bring this. So, in this situation, you have a pair of birds that is stuma. This pair of birds wasn't specified which one is the ola and which one is the chatas. An ola and a chatas bird have totally different ways that the avod is performed. The chatas is allowed to be eaten, an ola is not allowed to be eaten. Opposite of animals, the chatas is below the chod hasikra, the ola is above the chod hasikra. And there are other differences in their avodah. So if you have specified them, then you're in a lot of trouble. But if you haven't specified them, it's what we call a cane, a nest of birds, a pair of birds that is stuma. One of them is an ola, one is a chatas, but you didn't specify which one is which. So then, if this situation, one of them escapes, sheparcho, one of them flies away, goes alechad mehen la'avir olam, so one of these two birds flies away and is lost now, so what do we do with the other one? So in this situation, oh, sheparcho, lebein chatos hamesos, or if one of these birds got mixed up with a whole bunch of other birds that are all to be left to die, they were a chatos that can't be brought, so all of them have to be left to die, and now this bird that's in there, you can't distinguish which one was the original chatos hamesos, so which one is the new bird that flew there, so in all of these situations, or Oshemes Echaman, or one of the two birds dies. So you have one bird left from this cane that was stuma. So in this situation, Yikach Zug Lashen, you are allowed to go and bring a second bird into the situation. And now you'll designate eventually one of them will be the Ola, one of them will be the Chatas, because the one that's left behind was never designated to be an Ola or a Chatas. It was just one of the two. So now you can bring in a new bird and make that also the buddy to this other bird, and one of them will be an ola, and the other will be a chatas. However, the ilu kain miforeshes, if this was a pair of birds that was specified, this one is the ola, this was the chatas. Now, you know, when they're both together, this one is the ola, this one's the chatas. But somehow, when one flies away, you can no longer tell which is the one that's left, is the ola or the chatas, so ein lo takana, then you're stuck, because you can't just pair up another bird. What are you going to do? You're bringing in another bird. Is the other bird an ola or a chatas? It has to be the opposite of what the bird that you have it there, is definitely an ola or a chatas. You just don't know which one it is. So you're stuck in this situation. And here's the point that Reish Lakish is trying to ask on Rav Yochanan. He says, but vilu shar kinim ba'alma, but all the other birds of the world, misaknan, they are okay. There isn't the problem with using them. Now, technically, the bird that flew away, there was a known Ola or a known Chatas, it was from the Cain, that was Mifureshes, but we don't know which one it is. So that's now mixed in with all the birds in the world. Why don't we say any bird that you take? Well, maybe it's an Ola, maybe it's a Chatas, and therefore you shouldn't be able to use any of the birds in the world, but obviously not. Reish Lakish tells of Yochanan, you see, in this situation, you're allowed to use all the other birds in the world. Vamai. Don't we say, Lema, Kochada, Vachada, Duma, Hainiyu? Why don't we say that maybe it's the Ola bird that we're taking, maybe it's the Chatas bird that we're taking, we don't know which one left, and therefore we shouldn't be able to use any other birds in the world? Oh, but the fact that we don't say that, you're wrong, Rabbi Yochanan, in saying that this man can't marry any other women in the world, because he's concerned that maybe he's marrying the sister of his wife, the mother of his wife, etc. We see that we're not concerned about that. By the birds, we're not concerned about it, so we shouldn't be concerned about it over here as well, because it's nullified, so to say, by the majority of kosher birds in the world. So too, the wife's relatives should be nullified by being part of the majority of kosher women to him in the world. So that's the question Reish Lakish asks of Yochanan. Reish Lakish says, Amalei, Reish Lakish says back to Reish Lakish, Kamina ano isha delo naida, I'm saying a case of a woman who doesn't move about, and therefore the din of kol kavua kemech tzumech tzodomi applies, and you're comparing it to a case of a bird. Yamrisli ad, you're telling me isura denied. You're telling me about a bird that moves about, which is not going to be kol kavua kemech tzumech tzodomi, elo, it's going to be miruba parcha. We can assume that that situation, you can nullify it by being against the rov. You're going to tell me that this woman isn't kavua. Maybe this woman moved about as well, that she wasn't in her house at the time she was Mekudeshus, maybe she was in the Shuk, and therefore she is considered Nayid, and therefore maybe in that situation she's not called Kavua Kamechso Umechsodomi. So I would respond to that. You're going to tell me, Eimor Beshuka Ashkach Vikodesh, and therefore she is Nayid, she's moving about, and it's not called Kavua. But my response to that would be, Hosom Hadra Lenichusa. The woman is eventually going back to her house, so she is again called Kavua, and therefore called Kavua Kamechso Mechsodomi. That's why by the woman, all of the other women in the world are going to be ushered to this guy. As opposed to Gabe Cain, in regards to the birds, Mihadra, they never come to a Kavua situation. So therefore, I agree with you, the halacha by the birds, that we don't have to be concerned that any bird that you take from the world is actually that Chatos or that Ola bird, we don't know which one it is, and therefore all the birds of the world should be ushered. Because there, we can follow the majority. But in the case of the woman, she was Kavua, and we do apply the rule called Kavua Kemerza Umerza Domi. Okay, that's how Rabbi Yochanan answers Reish Lakish not to compare the two cases. The Gemara continues and says, Amar Rava, Rava says, but even according to Rabbi Yochanan, Umod Rabbi Yochanan, even Rabbi Yochanan would agree that if this person who had sent the Shaliach wants to get married to somebody, if he finds a woman that doesn't have any relatives, so he would be allowed to marry her. So, Umod Rabbi Yochanan, the Isha, with a woman, She'ein Lo, that doesn't have, lo bas, she doesn't have a daughter, so there's no way she can be the mother of the girl who was really married by the shliach. The lo bas, bas, she doesn't have a granddaughter, so she can't be the grandmother of the woman who was married by the shliach, who was mekudeshes to the man by the shliach. The lo bas, bain, she doesn't have a granddaughter through her son, so therefore she doesn't have that potential. The lo aim, she doesn't have a mother. The lo aim, she doesn't have a grandmother. The lo achos, she doesn't have a sister. So in all of these situations, even though the man was Mekadesh, a woman, there's no way that it's one of the relatives that would ask her to marry the man. And since technically the man could have two wives, so therefore there's no reason why this man couldn't marry somebody that didn't have any potential that she could be a relative that would be asur to him because he was already married to her relatives that would make it asur for him to marry her. So that's what Rava qualifies this din of Rabbi Yochanan. And furthermore, he says, and even if she did have a sister, the apple pisha ha'isal achos, we have to be concerned then maybe her sister was Mekudeshes, and therefore he wouldn't be allowed to marry her while her sister was alive, and therefore maybe she is the sister of his wife in that situation. If she had been married at the time that the man had sent the shaliach, and only afterwards when his garsha, or her husband, passed away, la'achar mikan, so then dahai sharya, she would also be allowed to be married, because even if she did have a sister, that theoretically that shaliach could have been Mekadesh, but at that point in time, she was married. The sister was married. So then, even though she subsequently in his gar shaliach mikan, there's no way that the shaliach could have given her kiddushin on behalf of the man who sent them, because she was a married woman at the time when he was sent out to go and acquire a wife for the man. The shaliach was sent out at that point in time. The woman was married, so this is no way he gave to her, this married woman, kiddushin on behalf of the man who sent them, and therefore the sister of that woman would be allowed to marry the man who sent the shliach as well. My time out. What's the reasoning over here? Because the Baha'i Shaita, the Ka'amale, at the time that the man sent the shliach to go be Makadish Stam, a woman for him, the sister was already married at that point in time, and Kimashve Shaliach, and therefore at the time that the man made the shaliach, it's only Bemilso de Kaima Kame that he would be allowed to go and marry women that were eligible at that point in time. Bemilso de Lo Kaima Kame, but in a matter of a woman that wasn't able to be married at that point in time, he wasn't appointed a shliach, Lo Mashve Shaliach. So therefore, since if the sister was married at that point and only subsequently became divorced, there's no way that the shliach could have married the sister to the person who sent him, been makadish that woman for the man who sent him, and therefore the man would be allowed to go and eventually be makadish the woman who was the sister of the married woman, because there's no way that she could possibly be the sister of his wife, because there's no way the shliach could have been makadish a married woman. Okay, that's what Rava says. But our questions and says, really? The shaliach couldn't have gone and given her kiddushin? By the time he got there, she was divorced. How do we know that he didn't give her kiddushin? Even though at the time that he was made a shaliach, she was married, maybe he gave her the kiddushin when she was subsequently divorced. After all, Tanan, we learned in our Mishnah, if a person says, Hareini Nazir, V'olai L'galeach Nazir, remember in the beginning of yesterday's shir, we had this Mishnah where if Reuven said, I'm going to be a Nazir, and in addition, I take upon myself the responsibilities to bring the korbanos that a nazir has to bring. I will pay for some poor nazir who can't afford the korbanos. I'll pay for his ola, for his shlomim, and for his chatas. So in that situation, Reuven has to bring for himself nazirus and the korbanos that go with that, and he has to pay for somebody else. And then Shimon hears this, and he says, Omar, Bani, me too. I will also become a nazir, as we explained yesterday, and I will also go and pay for somebody else's korbanos, who's a nazir. So if they were smart, we said in the Mishnah, if they want to save some money, let Reuven pay for Shimon's Nazirus carbons, because he's paying for somebody else. Let Shimon pay for Reuven's Nazirus carbon, he's paying for somebody else. And this way, each of them will be a Nazir, but only have to bring one set of carbonos, but not have to bring two sets of carbonos. So that's if they were smart. If they don't wish to do that, so then they have to pay for their own carbonos Nazir, as well as for somebody else's carbonos Nazir. Now, Bishlama Basra, we understand that when Reuven had said, Vani and me too, and I will pay for somebody's korbanos, Reuven was already a Nazir at that point, so he could certainly pay for Reuven's korbanos, because Reuven was already a Nazir at the time that he said, I will pay for a Nazir's korbanos. Elokadmav, the first one, Reuven, Mi Iko Basra Kameh, at the time that Reuven said, and I will pay for somebody's korbanos, it has to be somebody who's already a Nazir. And therefore, Shimon wasn't a Nazir at this point in time. And therefore, if Rava is right that you can't do something for the future, the shaliach can't go and be mekadesh a woman that wasn't able to be mekudeshes at the time of the shlichos, even though she subsequently got divorced, so Rava would say, in our Mishnah, it doesn't make sense. How could Reuven go and pay for Shimon's korbanos because Shimon wasn't the nazir at that point in time? Ella what? We turn to your beis, Amud beis, Ella hachikamar. What our Mishnah is telling us is no. As long as, at the time that he wishes to pay, the person is a Nazir, even though he wasn't a Nazir at the time that he made the Neder, imishkachno dahavi Nazir agalche. If and when I find somebody who's a Nazir, even if they're not a Nazir right now, at the time that Reuven said, I'll do this, Shimon wasn't yet a Nazir. And nevertheless, our Mishnah said that he's allowed to go and pay for Shimon. It was said if they were pichim, each would pay for the other. So Reuven is clearly allowed to pay for Shimon's and Naziris's carbon, even though he wasn't a Nazir at the time that he said it. So too Hochanami, Kasha and Rava, Hochi Kamale. When the man made the shliach to go find a woman for him to get married to him, he said, Imish Kachas Dimigarsha. Right now the woman might be married, but if she subsequently gets divorced, it's okay to go and be Makadish that woman as well, Kadishli. So therefore, how does Rava tell us that in this situation, the person could subsequently go and marry the sister of a woman who was married, albeit subsequently divorced, but if she was married at the time of the shlichos, but she was divorced, and the shlich was still alive, so then maybe he was Makadisha, because after all, we just proved that you can do that. So the Gemara says, Amre, in the Beis Medrash, they answered Rava, on behalf of Rava, as follow. They said, Lo mashve ina shaliach, ela b'milso d'motzi ovid hashta. When a person makes a shaliach, he only makes him to be a shliach for things that he could do himself. And right now, when he made him a shliach, the man couldn't marry that woman who was married. So therefore, the shlichus doesn't apply, even though that woman subsequently got divorced, since the man who sent the shliach couldn't have married her right then and there. Shliach only has the same powers that the man himself would have had. And since that man at that point couldn't be mekadesh the married woman, so too the shliach can't be mekadesh the married woman, even though she subsequently became divorced. And therefore, if the man himself couldn't do it, so then the shliach can't do it, even though subsequently the woman was divorced. So therefore, we're now explaining Rava as saying the reason why the man could go marry the woman who had a sister that was married at the time of the shliach, but then subsequently got divorced while the shliach was still alive, is because we apply this principle that if the man himself couldn't have married that woman because she was married, so then the shliach can't go and be mekadesh that woman on his behalf, even when she subsequently get divorced. So the Gemara now questions this, lo, really? Is that really true, that the shliach can only do exactly what the man is able to do? Toshma, I'll show you from the following brisa, that's not true. And we had this previously in the Gemara in the Dor, on Daf Ayin Beis and on Daf Ayin Hei. And we learned over there, if a man said to his apotropis, he has somebody in charge of his estate, he's going on a business trip, and he says, Omeli apotropis shelo, he says to the man who's taking care of his estate while he's away, called Nidorim Shetidor Ishti, by the way, if my wife makes any Nidorim while I'm away, Mikan, from now, when I'm going away, Atch Avo Bimokum Ploni, until the time that I come back from this business trip, Hofrullah, I'm giving you the power that I have to be made for my wife's Nidorim, I'm giving that to you to be made for my wife's Nidorim. The Hefrullah, and this apotropis, in fact, went and was made for the Nidorim. So, Yochel Yumufarin, I might have said that a Shliach can do what the person asked him to do, and that, in fact, the wife's Nedarim should be, in fact, Mufar, but the Gemara says, no, Talmud Lomar, Isha Yikimenu, the Isha Yifeirenu. Again, it's a Mapik, hey? So it means the husband has to be Makayim, the wife's Nedarim, or the husband can be made for the wife's Nedarim. And it specifically says the husband, and it implies, therefore, not a Shaliach of the husband. And this is the opinion, Divrei Rav Yoshia. So Rav Yoshia, therefore, tells us that under this situation, a Shaliach cannot go and do what the husband is able to do. The Rav Yonah's son, Omer, Matzina b'chol makom, sheshluch v'shaladun k'moso. Rav Yonah says, no, a shliach can always do whatever the person is mishaleach him to do. If the man can do it, so the shliach can do it on behalf of the man. So this is machlokes Rav Yosha and Rav Yonah's son, do we or do we not darshan specifically in this case by the apotropis that he cannot take the husband's power because of this pasuk that says, ishah yikimenu, b'ishah yifrenu, specifically it must be the husband and nobody else. So that's what Rav Yosha says. Rav Yonason says, no, the shliach can do this, and he dashes the pasuk differently. Now, the reasoning is, time of the Omer Rechmona, the only reasoning Rav Yoshia says that in this situation the shliach cannot do what the husband asked him to do is because of the pasuk, yishah yikimenu, yishah yifirenu. Implication being, halav hachi, if it wasn't for this drasha from the pasuk, an apitropis made for it. The apitropis would be able to go and do this. Okay, so now we've set up that except in this situation, because of the specific pasuk, a shliach can do what the person sending him asks him to do. Now, the ilu gabe didei, that was in regards to the shliach being mefer. But for himself, the husband himself, to be made for his wife's nedarim, Tanya, some suggest it really should be Tanan because it's a mishnah over there in nedarim, again, on daf ayin beis and also on daf ayin hei. And it said over there that if the man himself says to his wife, omeli ishto, listen, I'm going off on this business trip, call Nadarm Sheti Dori, any Nadarm that you make from the time that I'm leaving now, Mikan, the Acha Avo Mimokum Ploni, until the time that I come back, Gesundte, you Kayomim. They should be Mikuyomim. If you want to make Nadarm, Gesundte. I'm all in favor of any Nadarm you want to make, and I'm Makayim them right now. So normally, the husband has to be Makayim them on the date that the wife makes them. But here he's saying, I'm prophylactically, so to say, being Makayim in Nadarm, and the Mishnah there said, Lo Omar Klum. It's worthless. You can't be Mekayim something if it hasn't yet occurred. You can only be Mekayim on the day that she makes it by either being Mekayim or going till the end of the day without being made for it. So then that's a de facto keel. So in regards to being Mekayim in the Dorim preventatively or prophylactically to say I will be Mekayim anything that you make in the future, that everybody agrees can't be done. But if you want to say, Hare Hei Mufarim, the man says to his wife, any Nidorim that you make from the time that I leave now until the time that I come back should be Mufarim, even though they haven't yet been made, I'm revoking them, I'm saying that they don't exist, Hei Mufarim, so that's a Machlokas. Rabbi Eliezer Omer Mufar, Rabbi Eliezer says it works, a person can do that. The Chachamim ain't a mufar. But the Chachamim say, no, it can't be mefred in that situation until it's B'yom Shamo, until the day of the neder. You can't prophylactically be mefred her nedarim. The Chachamim darshin out over here, Isha yikimenu, Isha yifereno. Just like the man can't be makayim the nedarim prophylactically, so too he can't be mefred in the nedarim prophylactically. The Rebbe Elazar says you can't. He doesn't darshin that hakish. Now, here we finally can get to the question on Rava. Again, remind ourselves. Rava said that when the man appointed the shaliach to be Makadesh a woman on his behalf, the shaliach can only be Makadesh women that the man himself could have been Makadesh at that moment in time, but not somebody who was currently married and then only subsequently divorced. That's what Rava had said. But now we question that as follows. Kasoka daitoch kiyama Rav Yoshia, when Rav Yoshia said that a person cannot make the apotropis to go and be made for his wife's nedarim. So, aliba dirabonon, according to the Chachamim, the Amrei lo motzi mefer, the Chachamim say that the husband can't go and be made for prophylactically his wife's nedarim. So, in fact, Rav Yoshia had said that it's only because of the pasuk, Isha yikimenu v'isha yiferenu. V'ilad diyamar rachmon Isha yikimenu v'isha yiferenu, apotropis have a mefer. In fact, the apotropis could prophylactically go do it. Rav Yoshia had said it's only a unique situation because of the pasuk that you can't do it. Therefore, it would seem that if you're not dealing with the case of Isha yikimenu v'isha yiferenu, that in fact, a sholiach can do something that the husband can't do right now, because in fact the husband can't be made for the nedarim right now, but if it wasn't for this pasuk, the shaliach, the apotropis, could be made for the nedarim. So too, in the case of the man asking the shaliach to go and be makadish a woman on his behalf, so even though the husband can't be makadish the woman right now himself because she's married, but the shaliach could go be makadish her when she subsequently gets divorced. So you see that Rava's explanation is wrong. So Gemara says, no, maybe the Dilma Aliba the Rebbe Eliezer. Maybe Rav Yoshia is saying that here, Isha Yikimenu, Isha Yiferenu, that goes according to Rebbe Eliezer. Rebbe Eliezer says that the husband could be made for prophylactically wives of the Dharm, and the only reason why over here you can't is because of the Pasuk, Isha Yikimenu, Isha Yiferenu. And therefore, you don't have any Raya to the Shaliach. So Gemara says, Ihachi Lomuli Lishavuya Shaliach. So then, why would he make a Shaliach? Why doesn't he just be made for his wife's nedarim himself? If you're allowed to be prophylactically doing this, so lefer lo ihu, let the husband himself go and be made for them right now prophylactically. Why should he tell the shaliach to do it if he's able to do it himself? So the warrior says, no, kesavar, the person is thinking, listen, dilma mishtalina, I may be too busy at the actual time that I'm going on the business trip to remember to do this. Or ras chana, or I get angry with my wife and say, oh, let her have the nedarim, not made for them. Oh, mitridna, I get too busy, and therefore I'm going to either forget about it, mishtalina means to forget about it, or risachna, I'm going to go and get angry with her, and I won't do it, or mitridna, I'm going to get too busy with something, so therefore I better tell the shliach now, you go and do it. But technically, he could have done it himself prophylactically, and therefore that's how Rava would get around the question. Okay, let's go down to the next Mishnah. Harei alai legaleya chatzi nazir. We had this in yesterday's year as well. I said we would get to it today, and here's where we get to it, with two different explanations. In yesterday's year, we only gave one explanation. Here we have the Mishnah with the two explanations. The person says, Hare Olai, I accept upon myself, Ligaleach Chatzi Nozir, to go and do the Taglachas, in other words, to pay for the Karbanos, of a Chatzi Nozir. And then, Vishoma Chadero, Yomar, that was Reuven talking in the first place. Hare alai legaleach chatzi nazir. Shimon, his friend, hears it. V'shama chaber v'yomer. He says, me too. V'ani alai legaleach chatzi nazir. I too accept upon myself to pay for the korbanos legaleach chatzi nazir. Now, the Mishnah tells us, the Tanakhama holds, zeh megaleach nazir sholem, v'zeh megaleach nazir sholem. Divri Rav Meir. The Tanakhama, Rav Meir says, that in this situation, each of them accepted upon themselves the full set of korbanos for this nazir. Even though they said legalea chatzi nazir, as the Gemara will explain, a chatzi nazir doesn't exist. The person isn't half a nazir, so it goes across his whole body. So even though you said you pay for half of the nazir, you're essentially saying I'll pay for the entire person's korbanos. Not half of his body. Half of his body you can't pay. The whole body is a nazir, so therefore you'll pay for all the korbanos. So Reuven and Shimon in this situation have to go bring the entire full set of korbanos, the Ola, the Chatas, and the Asham, they have to each pay 100% of their value. Divri Rav Meir. Chacham disagree. Chacham Rav Meir. When the person said, Zeh megaleach chatzi nazir, it means I will provide half of that total amount. Not half of a nazir, but half of the amount of money. that you can say. Person say, I'll pay 50%. And the second one who said, and me too, pays the other 50%. Each of them only pays 50%. So this is machlokas. Reb Meir says each of them pays 100%, so each of them will have to pay 100% of the nazir's korbanos. And the opinion of the Chacham is each of them only pays 50% of the korbanos of the nazir. Gemara starts off and says, "Oh my Rabba, in fact, there's no machlokas to Reb Meir and the Chachamim in the following two scenarios. Hakol modim, both Reb Meir and the Chachamim agree that if the lashon that was used was as follows, kol heichad di omar, if the person had said, I accept upon myself, hare olai, chatzi karbanos nazir olai, if I accept upon myself to pay half of the karbanos of the nazir, so then, clearly, chatzi karbon maisi. He only has to pay for 50%. He only has to pay for half of the karbanos. And everybody agrees if he says karbanos chatzi nazir olai, if he says, I accept upon myself the karbanos of a chatzi nazir, of a half nazir, so there's no such thing as a half nazir, only a full nazir. So then, everybody would admit, kule karbon boy yisuye. Even the Chacham would say in that situation that you have to bring 100% of the karbanos. So in these two lishonos, where he said chatzi karbanos, or he said, I'll bring karbanos chatzi nazir alai, both Rav Meir and the Chachamim both say the same thing. In the first scenario, he only pays half because he had chatzi karbanos. In the second scenario, we said karbanos chatzi nazir, he has to pay the full amount. Everybody agrees to that. No machlokes Rav Meir and the Chachamim. No, our Mishnah says it's a machlokes. So the Gemara first says, my time, why is it no machlokes? Because you can't be physically a half of a nazir. When you're a chatzi nazir, your whole body is a nazir, all of you is a nazir, so therefore you have to pay all of the korbanos. Fine. Where do Reb Meir and the Chacham do argue, however, that's in the language that was specifically used in our Mishnah, Belishna Demasnisen Plige, only in the specific language that our Mishnah used is a machlokes Reb Meir and the Chacham. In the language of chatzi korbanos, nazir alai, no machlokes. In the language of korbanos chatzi nazir alai, no machlokes. The only machlokes is if you said hare olai legaleach chatzi nazir. That could be understood in two different ways. According to Rav Meir savar kivan diomar hare olai. As soon as the person said, "I accept it upon myself," therefore in that situation, ichayev akuli korban nazirus. He basically said, "I'm accepting upon myself the full bringing of that korbanos for that nazir." And therefore, when he goes and says the second part of the statement, v'chi komar chatzi nazirus lav kol kamine, he doesn't have the ability to go and negate that. So Reb Meir says, boom, he said, I accept upon myself these korbanos, so anything he said after that is essentially null and void, and therefore he has to pay for the full korbanos. That's the opinion of Reb Meir. On the other hand, the Chachamim say, no, Rabbanan Sabre, that basically the second half of his statement was a Pesach of Charata. Neder upesach imahu. He's basically saying, no, I don't want the full. I'm willing to pay half, but not full. So therefore, in this lashon of our Mishnah, where he says, hare alai legalea chatzi nazir, so in that situation, there's a machlokis. Rav Meir says it means a full amount, and the Chachamim it means 50%. But in the other two lashonos that we said, there is no machlokis. Okay, let's go weiter. It's still early in the shir. We'll go weiter. We'll do the next Mishnah. The Mishnah says, hareini nazir l'chashi yeli bein. The person says, I will become a nazir when I have a son. Now, this means a live-born son. The nolad lo bein, and a son is born to him, haray is a nazir. Then he becomes a nazir. But, nolad lo bas, if he has a daughter, that's not what he said. If he has a tumtum, which is not a vadai son, a tumtum is a person that has a membrane covering up the genitalia, essentially, and we don't know, is he a man or a woman? He's either one or the other, but we can't tell which one. The androgynous, that is a person that has both simoni zachrus and simoni nakvus. He has what we would call ambiguous genitalia. This is hermaphrodite that can have both simonim of both a man and a woman, so we can't tell. So basically, the person that said, I'm only a nazir if I definitely have a vadai son. So if he has a daughter, a tumtum, or an androgynous, ain't a nazir. He didn't accept upon himself naziris. That's what the person says, harini nazir l'ksheli bein. Fine, he was very specific. I'm a nazir if I have a son. All of these examples, a daughter, tumtum, and androgynous, is not a vadei son, therefore is not a nazir. In Omar, however, if the person said, kishiyeh li vlad, when I have a child, so then, even, afilu nolad lo bas, tumtum, the androgynous, harei zeh nazir. He said a child. A bas is a child. A tumtum is a child. An androgynous is a child. These are live-born children. And he said, if I have a live-born child, a vlad, then I accept upon myself zeros. So here, no matter what type of live-born child he has, a boy, a girl, a tumtum, an androgynous, he is a nazir. We turn to Yud Gimel of an Aleph with the continuation of the Mishnah. If the person, however, had said, I want to be a Nazir if I have a Vlad, and he pila ishto, his wife Nebuch miscarried. So then, ain't a Nazir. In that situation, he is not a Nazir. As the Mefarish explains in the top Mefarish, he pila ishto, ain't a Nazir. The Dilma, hi, the pila, lo have ben kayama, because maybe that child that was miscarried would not have been successful, would not have been a viable child. Shlokololochadoshav, he hadn't completed his maturation inside the mother. But lo vlad heavy, it's not considered a vlad. And therefore, the suffix naziris lahokel. And we go lahokel because it's only a suffix naziris, and by suffix naziris we go lahokel. So that's if his wife miscarried. That's the opinion of the Tanakhama. Ain't no nazir. Rabbi Shimon disagrees. Rabbi Shimon Omer, you know what? Maybe, in fact, he is a nazir. Why? Tosus explains the Masa, Rabbi Shimon Omer, Dil Rabbi Shimon may ace Shepila. For the moment that this woman miscarried, have a sophic nazir. Maybe this is considered a vlad, and therefore he's in fact a nazir. So therefore, Rabbi Shimon says, I don't know if I'm a nazir or not, so I'm stuck here. So Yomar, you know what he should say as follows. Im Hoya ben Kayama, if this child was really a viable child, and therefore my neder was fulfilled, I had a vlad, and therefore I'm a nazir, so then, im hoya ben kayama, hare ani nazir chova, then I'm an obligatory nazir from my original statement. But let's say the vlad, if it wasn't a vlad kayama, and therefore I'm not really a nazir, but maybe I am, so therefore, say now, if I'm not a nazir from that, hare ani nazir nidaba, I'm voluntarily now becoming a nazir, so mimar shach. If the child was a kayama, I'm a nazir, because that's a chova nazir. But if I'm not, then I'm making myself a voluntary nazir. Bottom line is, I'm not going to count 30 days of naziris and bring my karbanos without any suffix. That's Rabbi Shimon's opinion. And similarly, the same idea is expressed in the following scenario, where after this miscarriage, he has a child, Chaz Rabbi Yehuda. So now, according to the Tanakhama, who said the first miscarriage definitely was zero, so now the Tanakhama says, certainly now, Hare Zeh Nazir. He certainly is a Nazir now, because the first one, he definitely was not a Nazir, and now he has a Vlad. So his Nether is fulfilled, and he has to become a Nazir. That's the Tanakhama. He says he's a Vaday Nazir now. He was Vaday not a Nazir in the first case when she was a Pila. Rabbi Shimon again has a problem. He doesn't know. Maybe the Naziris was fulfilled the first time, and when he had said, Im Haya Ben Kayama, I'm a Nazir Chova, if it wasn't, then I'm a Nazir Nedava. So that time is finished. Now it's a year later, 2 years later, as now his wife gives birth again, so Rabbi Shimon is still stuck. Maybe, in fact, he's now a Nazir Chova, because the first time it was a Safek. So therefore, Yoma, he says, Im Harisho Ben Kayama, if the first child was really a Ben Kayama, so then I fulfilled my neder of Naziris then, so Harishon Chova, that one was the Chova one, and now I'm going to voluntarily take upon myself another Naziris, Vizu Nedava. And if in fact, if the first one wasn't a Bar Kayama, and therefore I wasn't a Nazir Chova the first time, so then I'm a Nazir Chova now. Harishon then was a Nedava, Vizu Chova, and this one will be a Chova. So again, Rabbi Shimon has a Mimanu Shach each time, but he has to do it twice. The first time, because you don't know what, am I a Nazir or not, because of the Hipila. So he says, if I'm a Nazir from the Hipila the first time, great, then I'm a Nazir. If not, I'm voluntarily taking myself upon a Naziris. And the second time, years later, when the wife does give birth again, so again, we don't know if the first time he had finished his obligation. So we say, if you didn't finish your obligation the first time, now you're a Vaday Nazir. And if in fact you did finish your obligation the first time, you were a Nazir then, so now you're a voluntary Nazir this time. So therefore, Rabbi Shimon gets around any suffix situation. Tanakhama didn't have that problem. The Tanakhama said, you were definitely not a Nazir the first time, and you're definitely a Nazir now. So the Tanakhama only has to bring one Naziris the second time. Okay, with this we conclude today's shir.